Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome to opening day on the Giant Cocktails podcast. I am your host, Matthew Henry, alongside my brother and co-host. I was going to call you something, but I don't even know. So the ebullient.
Hey,
Ben Henry. How you doing, Ben?
Well, I'm ebullient. That's how I'm doing.
It was the only big word that came to mind.
Right. Yeah, new episode, folks. New episode. It's the midweek review.
It is the midweek review. Until we find something catchier to call it, it's the midweek review. And it's opening day. And you know, normally with our podcast, we tend to kind of banter a lot and we talk a little about our lives and all that. But in the midweek, we don't got time for that.
That's right.
I think what we're going to do, folks, is we're just going to jump right into the drinking and talking about baseball. So,
Well, I've been drinking already. Like, did I? I thought I. Oh, yeah. I'm just getting started. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me talk in my soberest voice.
All right. And just to be honest, you know, Bob's contract hasn't been finalized yet. Well, actually, we just came to an agreement with him, but he's not ready for opening day. Oh, and we'll be spending a week or two in the minor league camp while he gets ready. Mm-hmm. So no Bob today. So I'm just going to jump in and share my cocktail.
All right. Do it.
So, Ben, I am really proud of today's cocktail. It is called, surprisingly, opening day. All right. Well, what's in an opening day? Well, it is 2 ounces of, wait for it, Cracker Jack infused bourbon, 1/2 ounce of amaretto, 1/4 ounce of caramel syrup, and 2 dashes of orange bitters. Now, how do you infuse bourbon with Cracker Jack?
Nobody cares. Nobody wants you to know.
They do want to know. No, they want to know. You're going to want to know, folks. All right. So you're going to take a box of Cracker Jack. You put it into a mason jar and you take about 4 to 6 ounces of bourbon and you put it in there and you make sure that's all incorporated. And then you let it sit overnight, minimum of 3 to 5 hours. But you could do it overnight. You don't want to leave it in much longer than that because then it comes a little funky. You're going to strain all the Cracker Jacks out and you've got this bourbon that has flavors of Cracker Jack. And you're going to add that with your amaretto, your caramel syrup, and your orange bitters into a mixing glass with ice. And you're going to mix it quite long, for at least 30 to 45 seconds. You want it to be diluted. You want there to be some dilution on this sucker. And then you're going to strain that into a rocks glass with a fresh chunk of ice. And you're going to express an orange peel over the drink and garnish it with the orange peel. What you get is not a very sophisticated cocktail, folks. This is a sweet, this is like Ben's month of sweetness. There is a sweetness, but boy, is it yummy. It is really tasty. And it's a celebratory drink for opening day, Ben. So, you know, give me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I'm drinking an opening day.
Well, thank you for asking, Matthew. That's very kind of you. I today am actually drinking a cocktail invented by the San Francisco Giants. Well, it wasn't created by them. It was created by their affiliates. Whoever's running the food services now, they held an event recently where they were unveiling all of the new foods. And one of the things that they had was a new cocktail that they're featuring called the Orange Splash. And they put the list of ingredients, and I saw that in the photograph, and I said, I'm going to recreate that. So this is Ben's Orange Splash. And so I used the ingredients exactly as they had it on their placard, but they obviously didn't put in the ratios and the amounts. And folks, I'm definitely making this stronger than they would. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So what's in Ben's Orange Splash? Well, it has 2 ounces of Añejo tequila. Now, they're using Reposado, Hornitos Reposado. But I didn't have any Reposado, so I just bumped it up to the next level, you know, because that's what I had. And then we have 1/2 ounce of orange liqueur. I use Cointreau, of course. Then 1 ounce of orange juice, and then 4 to 6 ounces of lemon lime soda and an orange wedge for a garnish. To make it, you combine the tequila, the orange liqueur, and the orange juice in a funky souvenir glass. If you get this at the Giants game, it's going to be like a softball-sized baseball shape, it looks like. So that's cool. Then you stir that gently, combine that with ice, and then top it with the lemon lime soda, and you garnish it with the orange wedge. And for a cocktail that's going to be served at a baseball stadium, it's pretty much what you'd expect. But all in all, a decent offering.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, I think we should start talking baseball.
Let's
so
do it.
Today is Wednesday, March 27th, as we record this podcast. Tomorrow is opening day or opening night. I don't know.
It's opening team. What is the matter with you? It is at 1:05.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. All right. So opening day tomorrow. I would look eventually. I just didn't look today. All right. Well, so we're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to talk about roster moves. There's still the Giants, surprise, surprise, still have not finalized their roster. It's like Ben doing a homework assignment. You know, it's like waiting till the very last minute. Then we're going to talk about predictions, Ben. Predictions. We're going to get a little crazy with our predictions. See who predicts what. And then finally, as with every midweek episode, we're going to end with a lightning round.
Lightning round. Yes.
All right. So roster moves. Lots to talk about there, right? Because we still have people that haven't even been put on the 40-man.
Well, lots to talk about, but nothing's been finalized. I mean, this really frustrated me today, Matthew. This really frustrated me. The Giants are already in San Diego. They flew them all to San Diego, which means they flew 45 dudes.
Yeah, Joey Bart, Marco Luciano, they're all just hanging out in San Diego
Nick
right now,
Ahmed,
aren't they?
You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, all at the poolside at the hotel.
Right. You know, the only one that's probably not there is Mason Black, even though he still might end up on the team by the day he needs to pitch, because he doesn't need to pitch on day one. So there are lots of things to talk about, but nothing has been finalized. Like, we still don't know.
Right. Well, let's talk about what we don't know.
Okay.
That will maybe be, that will certainly be finalized by the time maybe you listen to this podcast. First of all, starting pitchers and bullpen, like, we don't even know who the 4th and 5th starters are going to be at this point, right?
Nope.
They've named the first three. They named Logan Webb and then, what did they name? Kyle Harrison.
Yep.
And then Hicks as the three that we're going to start the first three games. And then we don't know who's going to be the 4th and 5th starters yet.
Right.
We don't even know if they're currently on the roster. So I think that's question number one. There's also who's going to be the back end of the bullpen, which probably ties into who's going to start games 4 and 5. Lots of question marks, I think, with that pitching staff and how they're going
to
do things.
Well, it should be really interesting to see who does pitch games 4 and 5 and how they do the roster moves to get those people on there, because it is going to tell us a lot about how different the Giants are going to operate in 2024 compared to the previous seasons and how much of it's going to be business as usual.
Oh, there's going to be a bullpen game, Ben. Right off the bat.
Right. Right. That's basically what I was getting to, which, you know, I'm excited about that prospect. You know, I'm excited about that prospect, though, because I'm a horrible person. Like, I'm very much looking forward to Twitter, Giants Nation on Twitter, losing its absolute mind over a bullpen game in the first series in San Diego. Like, if they have a bullpen game, I'm going to laugh maniacally.
Ryan Walker starting game 4.
Yeah. I mean, it very well could be that Ryan Walker is starting game 4. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. if that's that's what ends up happening, that's because there's reasons for it, right? Just like if there are platoons this year, there will be reasons for it. It's not because Bomell is treating his players like they're video games, like Stepdad did, you know? So, but there will be reasons, and there are reasonable reasons to have a bullpen game, right? Right. Blake Snell is going to come and be on this rotation, but he's not ready yet. So why go, you know, make a bunch of like 40-man roster moves that you don't have to make just because Blake Snell's not going to be there for his first two starts, right? So just weather the storm, have a bullpen game or two, and then. You know, go back to a normal rotation once Snell is available. And I'm not saying that's what they will do, but if they did do it, that would be why. And it's not an indication that it's business as usual.
Correct. And so the pitching staff is something that will be very interesting to see how they all flush that out. Because there are, you know, like you mentioned, Landon Roop and Dalton Jeffries, who are both projected to make at least the bullpen. Both are not on the 40-man roster, so they will be. There will be some guys will have to be let go in order to make room for Jeffries and Roop. The one that we've all suspected was going to be let go, but hasn't been let go yet, is Joey Bart.
Yeah, and baby.
Joey Bart, I think the Giants might carry three catchers this year, Ben.
I told you, Matthew. I told you. Joey Bart is not going to be traded. Like I said this weeks ago, and I bet a Negroni on it, and I am 100% confident that I am not drinking that Negroni, and I will laugh again maniacally if Joey Bart ends up on the 26-man roster and, along with Murphy and Bailey. That would delight me to no end.
But I think there would be a Farhan reason for that, right? I mean, it's not a great move for Joey Bart.
No.
But it would be a plausibly good move for the Giants to try and find a way to keep Bart in the organization. Because what happens is that if they DFA him, uh-huh. right, then he's put on waivers and any team can claim him.
That's right.
And right now, if they did that before teams have set their rosters, the likelihood of Joey Bart being claimed would be pretty good. You know, somebody's going to want a solid backup catcher, and they haven't really solidified that position yet, and they're going to do what they needed, you know, so that somebody would claim him. If, however, the Giants keep him on their 40-man and then wait a few days to DFA him, then it becomes more difficult for teams who have already set their rosters to undo what they've done. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is part of the plan, the maniacal plan of Farhan to try and get Joey Bart through waivers, because if he goes through waivers, then they can outright him to Sacramento and then he's off the 40 man and he's now still part of the organization.
Yeah. And he's trapped forever as a Giant. And so that all sounds very logical and whatever, yada, 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 yada. And then it's good because then you have Joey Bart, who is probably one of the 60 best catchers in baseball, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But now you have him and you've got him stashed away in the minor league. So in case one of your other catchers gets hurt or hits 175 for the year, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. And then you have
Tom Murphy's not hitting 175. But.
No, I know he's not. And so then you bring Joey Bart up and because you let somebody else go back to the minors to find their swing or whatever. So anyway, that's all very logical. But here's my reasoning. Farhan Zaidi hates Joey Bart and he knows that this is the worst possible thing that he could do to Bart. And so that's definitely what he's doing. Like, yes, this is all part of his evil, maniacal plan. And he's just like, yes, how can I trap him in my web? Keep him from what he wants. And so, yeah.
I think it's more like, how can I keep a good baseball player?
Well, if he's
my
a good baseball player, then they would have put him on their major league roster.
Yeah, yeah,
like he's
good
enough.
Good
he's
player.
Good enough to he's good enough to keep him forever in Sacramento and never play him in San Francisco. No, I get it. Joey Bart didn't hit all the home runs that we wanted him to hit, but you know what? Catchers don't usually hit home runs. You know, like most of them don't. and uh, and uh, And that being said, I'm not sure that either of the two catchers that we have now are going to turn out to be great offensive powers either. But both of them are Farhan Zaidi products, and one of them is not. So, yeah. You know, like, yeah. I know everybody's super excited about Patrick Bailey defensively, and I think they're right. I'm not excited about his bat at all. I hope he proves me wrong.
I guess
I hope he proves me wrong.
I guess we'll have to see. One last wrinkle on this 40 man is that Yaz's wife is scheduled to be induced to have a baby on Friday.
Matthew, I don't think babies are allowed to play baseball. Like, I think
they are not. That's why Yaz will have to go to the paternity list to maybe take care of said baby while his wife recovers. So Yaz is, and so what I understand is Yaz is going to start on Thursday, and then we'll get put on the paternity list on Friday when his wife is induced, which creates another short-term spot, which could be used by somebody named Joey Bart. and so I just feel like there are things that are happening that could make that happen, but we will see.
Yeah.
Within the next 2 days, we will see.
I think it's going to continue to churn for the rest of the season because Farhan Zaidi is still the hobo.
Well, last year, I think didn't the Giants add like some guy out of the blue, like Matt Beatty or something like that, like on like the day of the opening day, right? You know, the Giants are always going to be in flux. They're always going to be churning, especially the back end of their roster.
As long as Farhan is the hobo, yes.
Yeah. All right. Time for predictions, Ben.
Yes.
All right. We're going to go through these quickly, okay? Because we're on a shorter time lane on this midweek review show here. So,
okay.
First question, or this is actually my first prediction. I want to hear what you think. Uh-huh. This is my prediction. Okay. A San Francisco Giant will win Rookie of the Year. The question is, which one? I don't know. I mean, because you've got Kyle Harrison, Jung-Hoo Lee are probably the two front runners that many are actually mentioning. A lot of the pundits are mentioning as possible Rookie of the Year candidates. But then there's Keaton Wynn. There's Marco Luciano. You're adding more names. Who else would you add, Ben?
Well, I'm just Luis Matos is still a rookie. Mason Black.
Yeah. Right.
Wizen Hunt. I'm just going to throw that one out there, right? Because you don't know how deep things are going to go. Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen. And this is how it happens, Matthew. A guy gets thrown into the fire, right? He's forced to start no matter what all of the Giants fans and Giants pundits do or do not want, right? Like, we've got all these people who just don't want the prospects to ever play at the major league level. They want everybody to be Joey Bart. But somebody might get hurt, and then you got Carson Wisenhunt out there, and you know, and he's super young, but he comes up and he's just carving people up. You know, could happen. Mm-hmm. Could happen. That's not my pick. Yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen. But I was just saying it's a possibility. It's a possibility. I have a strong contender amongst this group, but it's not me.
Who's yours?
Jung-Hoo
Lee. Your strong contender?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
I think it's harder for a starting pitcher to win Rookie of the Year because they're not seen as much. And you have to have a really strong
year. This is what I'm saying. He would have 20 starts. He goes 17-1.
Well, okay.
You know,
then there would be some.
Right. You know, this is what I'm saying. It could happen.
All right.
It's not going to. It's not going to. It's going to be Jung-Hoo Lee who's going to hit like 360.
Okay, so you say that. So that's my next prediction. Speaking of Jung-Hoo Lee, I'm predicting that Jung-Hoo Lee will finish in the top five in the league in batting average. But you're saying 360. That would indicate what?
Well, he's going to finish first. He's going to win the batting title in his rookie year. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. In fact, I was wrong. He's going to have a 420 batting average and a 690 on base percentage. YOLO.
All right.
Heard it here first.
Folks, Ben hasn't even finished his first drink yet.
No, the orange splash hasn't even hit the bottom yet.
All right. Well, the big question. So now, every year, you and I predict how many wins the team will have. So far, we have never even been close to being right. But I'm going to ask you again, how many wins are the Giants getting this year?
I think last year I said 84 and then I upped it to 86, but then I tricked you and I said it was actually just still 84 and I was still off by five. Okay, I think this team's absolute ceiling is 88 wins. And you know what? I'm going to be positive this year, and I'm going to say they hit the ceiling. I'm going to say they do 88 wins. I think there's a, I mean, I think this team could be like 76 wins also.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. I think there's a big oscillation here. Like, I don't think a 500, I don't think a winning season is guaranteed with this roster, but I think they're more likely to be above 500 than below. And I think 88 wins is probably the crazy number. And so I'm going with the crazy number. 88 wins.
I think the ceiling's a little higher for this team. I think that the ceiling is probably low 90s, that's, 91, 92.
That's why you're you and I'm me.
But that's not my prediction.
Oh, okay.
So I think that the ceiling, that's right, 108, baby.
Hey, we can see that happen.
Go big or go home. No, I am going to, see, I have to be more optimistic than you. So I'm going to go 89.
89?
89 wins. Yes. Even though my gut said 87.
Your gut says 87.
But no, okay. 89. Okay. 89 wins this year,
I like
Ben.
I like it. You this is usually what I do. I usually get two or three picks in, right? I say two or three numbers, which I kind of did, right? I said 70. Anywhere, but you know I'm going to take credit if they do anywhere between 76 and 88, right? You know that,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course. I wouldn't expect anything
less. I'm going to be
yes.
like, told you so. But I like it.
All right. Well, the next question was playoffs or not. And I think both with our win totals that we're predicting, although it was seven, I don't know. What are you predicting then, Ben? Are they making
the
playoffs?
They are definitely making the playoffs. They are.
All right.
They are. And I can see the next question on that. So I want to tell a story about how that's going to work out, but I'm going to wait until we get to the next prediction. They are definitely with 88 okay. wins making the playoffs. I think that the National League, there's just a lot of teams bunched up in the middle. I don't think there's any great, you know, second tier teams. And so I think 88 wins will be enough to make it to the playoffs kind of easily, actually.
Agreed. I think that the Giants definitely have put themselves, especially with their elite additions of, you know, Blake Snell and Matt Chapman at the end there, have put themselves in that upper tier of mediocrity, if you will. So I think that they're going to make the playoffs. But the next question, Ben, is what order will the National League West finish in? And so that begs the question, will there be one or two wild cards coming from the National League West?
I think there's going to be, well, I don't know how many wild cards are going to be. I think there could be three. I really do. I think there could be three just because I think it's so packed up, right? Like it could work out that way. I think it probably won't just by law of averages, but I will say this, the Rockies are dead last. You know, this is a lost organization. I read that Chris Bryant, like, confessed that he kind of signed the contract with the Rockies in haste, and he really didn't understand how bad their farm system was. Like, he just said that. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and he regrets leaving the Cubs.
Yeah. Like, wow. You know, wow. Like, there's so many levels to that. So many levels to that. Just sort of like, you make this super important decision and it was a knee jerk. I just take the most amount of money I can get.
Exactly. It was about the money.
Yeah, well, I guess it's
all
not
right,
all
so
about
Rockies
money.
Are in last.
Rockies are in Who's... last. Okay. So after that, it's the Padres. The Padres are going to finish in fourth place because the Padre. Now, I'm not saying that means they don't make the playoffs, but it's going to be hard for them. It's going to be nip and tuck, or they'll just Padre and fade. But the Padres are going to finish in fourth. The Giants, Matthew, will finish in third place, but it will be good enough for the second wild card. I know. You all hate me. Whatever. I don't care. Shut up. They're making the playoffs because here's what's going to happen. The Dodgers are not going to be what everybody thinks they're going to be. They're going to flirt with greatness, but they're always going to have something pulling them back down.
Scandals, injuries.
And then the team that I wish the Giants had been, with probably the most exciting player in the National League West for the next 5 to 10 years, and I know that includes Ohtani, You know, we have no idea how many more years of Otani we have left. Let's face it. Could be 2 months.
Yeah. He could get 10 to 15 years.
He could. And, you know, Yamamoto could be like, you know, Kalina, he could be like the long man for the next 3 years in his 12-year contract before they DFA that thing. So you never know. Corbin Carroll, he's the real deal. The Diamondbacks are going to surge past the Dodgers, and they're going to win the NL West. The Dodgers will be the first wild card. The Giants will be the second wild card, which I think means they would play each other, but I don't really know how that all works. And the Giants will dominate them with their amazing rotation, and then they will face the Diamondbacks in the NLCS. And, of course, win that on their way to the World Series. And that's how it's going to work out. Giants, 88 wins. They win the World Series.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I want to argue with that. I like that scenario. I think that it will be close between the Giants and Arizona. I think the Giants definitely have the ability to finish second in the National League West, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do. But I like your scenario of beating the Diamondbacks in the playoffs to get to the World Series. So I'm going to stick with your scenario there. All right. So we've added a bunch of pitching this year, but one that we didn't add, who is the ace of our staff, the stalwart, is Logan Webb, who didn't get a lot of wins last year because the Giants couldn't score runs for the guy. I think he had either the second lowest run support in the majors last year. So what is your prediction for wins for Webb, knowing that maybe he's got A, a better defense behind him, and B, maybe a little bit more offense?
22 wins.
Oh. Show me that drink.
It's empty. It's empty. The orange splash, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, I made mine with 2 ounces of tequila and half an ounce of orange liqueur. That is the right amount to make this Giants team look a lot more pretty than it might actually be.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, in 2022, Logan Webb had 15 wins. Okay, so I'm not quite as optimistic as you, but I think I'm going to say 19 wins.
Yeah, that's a really good guess. That's a good guess. 17 is probably good.
You see, my optimism is being 19.
Yeah, but see, I said 22. Because
yeah, you're drinking.
Well, I wanted to be
like
outlandish today, Matthew. Like, you know, everybody's like, "Oh, Ben's always a pessimist." Blah 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 blah. And I'm like,
"Nah, everybody's."
That's it.
Opening day, man. Everybody's got a chance.
That's right.
You just be positive. All right. So on the flip side, with the closer, how many saves would you say Camilo Duvall gets?
Well, he had 39 last year, and in order for Webb to have 22 wins, he's going to have to save a few more, because I'm not sure about this lineup scoring a lot of runs. So I'm going to say 46.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be more opportunities for wins, for one. And so I also feel like there won't be a lot of blowouts. I think that this is going to be in that respect, I think you're right. I think over 40 is plausible. So I'm going to say 43.
Yeah, again, reasonable.
All right. And then finally, our last prediction. It's been a while since a Giant has hit 30 home runs. And in fact, the last time a Giant hit 30 home runs, his name was Bonds. And so that was a long time ago, folks. There are a whole generation of fans who have never seen a Giant hit 30 home runs.
They've seen 3 World Series titles, though. So let's not overinflate the importance of home runs, is that what you're saying? Important at all, because clearly it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, in 2021, they led the National League.
I mean,
in home
I get
runs,
it.
You know, so I, even though they didn't
that's
have
right.
one guy,
that's
that hit
right.
30,
they had lots of home runs from lots of different guys.
So the question is, though, how many home runs does Jorge Soler have this year?
I want you to go first.
Okay, I'm gonna say he's gonna have a 31, just so that we can be over 30. He's gonna break the curse. He's gonna have 31.
There
home
you go,
runs.
Like shaving it, making a very like analytical, well thought out guess. That's ridiculous. I'm gonna go big again, except no, because I love this streak. I don't ever want it to end because, again, it riles up Giants Nation, and there's just something about that that just gets me so excited. It's like the bullpen games, you know, or platoons, you know, or having a guy pinch hit for a guy because he bats from the other side of the plate. Everybody just loses their minds, and I'm just like, well, that's entertaining. So I'm going to say Soler's going to hit 29 home runs, Matthew.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. So we may or may not revisit these predictions at the end of the season.
Sometimes we'll see how close we are.
Yeah. Sometimes we just forget, I think, honestly. But all right. Well, it's time, Ben. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna channel my inner
Do
Bob.
It.
It's time for a lightning round.
Way to go, Bob.
All right. So we're gonna just some quick topics, and we gotta hit it quick.
All right.
Pablo Sandoval singles in his final at bat at Oracle. Fans gave him a standing O. Will he play another Major League Baseball game? No, I don't think so either. I want him to, though. Pablo to have another. He seemed like he could still hit. It seems like he could still help.
I would accept it, but only if he pitches.
Oh, there we go. All right. So another next one is Bleacher Report called the Giants roster Stars and Scrubs. Do you agree?
Bleacher Report? Are they
They were predicting like which teams would make the playoffs.
These guys are barely pundits. Like, I don't even Bleacher Report, they're like a step above us. Like, if we got promoted, Matthew, we would be promoted to Bleacher Report.
Well, there's a couple of our fellow podcasters that appear on Bleacher Report.
Yeah, well, there you go. You're not too far off. What do they call
them? But do you agree? Stars and Scrubs or
well,
no?
Well, I mean, what Stars and Scrubs, like, what isn't that baseball? That sounds like a Major League Baseball team to me.
Yeah. Well, last year we were just Scrubs.
That's true. Scrubs, so, and they won 79 games.
I feel like we've improved, you know, like, the Stars
I don't know. I think they were like, hey, this sounds clever and demeaning. And I'm like, is it though? Is this demeaning? I do think it's a disservice to the team because I don't know that the Giants have any scrubs.
No, that's a good point. I think they have a lot of players that are at minimum Major League average, which is better than a lot of teams.
I get it when you are a low IQ, East Coast biased writer who's just looking to say something provocative rather than actually intelligent and thoughtful. This is something that you thought was clever. You probably chuckled to yourself as you said it, but it demonstrates that you don't know anything about the San Francisco Giants and their lineup. I definitely disagree.
And that's pretty much any pundit that writes about the whole Major League. How could they know all the teams? And so they just throw things against the wall to see if it sticks. All right, next one. Does Marco Luciano supplant Nick Ahmed as the everyday shortstop this year? And if so, by when?
Yes, August.
Okay. I would say yes, and I think it would be sooner than that. I think it would be June.
Ooh, June. I like that.
I think Luciano is hot now. I think he carries that into the season in AAA. And then I think Nick Ahmed is struggles. And I think they bring up Luciano.
Ahmed will definitely struggle at the plate. That's Nick Ahmed. He's going to struggle at the plate. But I think Luciano will struggle to start off AAA because that's what he always does everywhere.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. Ben, who's the most likely to be DFA'd this year?
I want it to be Michael Conforto.
Me too.
But it's probably going to...
So say it.
Okay,
just
Michael Conforto. Michael Conforto.
But it's probably going to be who? Who would you say?
Nick Ahmed.
That's a good point. You're right. They are the two... Nick Ahmed is the leader in the clubhouse in that, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. And then... we got news this week that Tyler Fitzgerald he earned himself a first baseman's glove and played a few innings on, I think it was on Tuesday,
in
the last game against the A's at first base. And so many people are saying that just means that he's going to be that final utility spot. Ben, what's the most meaningless defensive position?
First base, apparently.
apparently, where you could just have three innings of major league experience, and now all of a sudden you're good enough to be a super utility guy.
I think it's three innings. I think it's professional experience. And can you call spring training major league experience? I don't know. So, but they're all like, yeah, he's good. It reminds me of that, you know, Hatterberg scene in Moneyball. When he's talking to Hatterberg and he says, you know, switching to catcher to first base is easy. And then he turns to Ron Wash and he says, right, Wash? And he's like, it's incredibly difficult. I think these guys are on the, the Billy Bean side of the equation here. And they don't believe in the Ron Washington view that first base is difficult to play.
They don't value a lot of first base defense.
No, three innings is enough. So,
this is the same team that put Lamont Wade there when he had the last time he played was in college.
Right.
And Wade actually ended up doing well. And so maybe they're like, hey, look, anybody can play
first
base.
This is also the team that put Jock Peterson on the outfield. This is also the team.
Actually, they put Jock Peterson at first base, didn't they?
This is also the team that put Brett Wisely out in center field. So, you know, this is the team that got rid of Mauricio Dubon because, he plays too many positions. He doesn't hit the ball hard enough.
All right. Well, that is the end of our lightning round on that note. But let's talk a little bit about our opponents this week, the San Diego Padres. They made a few changes. You know, they traded for Dylan Cease. I didn't see where. I assume he's going to be the opening day starter, but maybe not. Maybe it's going to be like Musgrave or Darvish, or I don't even know.
Well, Musgrave was the opening day starter. Darvish was. Darvish started on opening day, and then
Musgrave, already played two games.
And then Musgrave played game two, and they're going to stick with that. So it's going to be Darvish
and
Musgrave.
They're going to repeat that. Yeah. Which is weird, you know, the Padres played two games, two regular season games, and then played like three minor league games or spring training games. And then, you know, that's so strange. So strange. Anyway, but the Padres obviously are the team that they kind of surpassed us in the last month of the season last year and finished ahead of us.
That was all about stepdad. Stepdad imploding.
Right, well,
and then the divorce.
So I don't know if there's much to talk about other than, every team's going to be.
I mean, you don't have many opportunities to play your rivals in the National League West. And you don't have a lot of opportunities to play the teams that you might be competing with for a wild card. So I think that.
So even though that's games one and through three or four of us, it's important.
It's extremely important. Like, these are real. Like, it's on. These games are just as important as the games in September. Like, I think the Giants have to come out strong. They need to dominate in this series. And I don't mean I don't care on the field. They just need to win three games. Like, win three of these four games. And then go into Los Angeles knowing that you got some momentum behind you. Like, I think they have to play well against the Padres. I don't care that it's the first day games of the season. Like, be ready. Be ready, Logan Webb, with your 10-point whatever ERA from spring training. Be ready.
All right, but remember, he's going to win. He's going to win 22 games, so he's definitely going to be ready.
Yeah.
I might have been the orange splash talking. But anyway, we will see.
That leaves him, like, he's going to make, what, 25 starts? 27 starts?
33 starts.
Oh, it's fine. He can lose one. But not this one!
All right. Well, so as we wrap this up, I do want to say I have a little guilty pleasure where I play Immaculate Grid on from Baseball Reference. And one of the things that I like to do is that I like to fill in every spot with somebody who played for the Giants. And so, of course, that means I have to cheat, right? I go in there and I just find players that cheat and all that. But what I also found was that there are a lot of players that play for teams that I didn't remember that they played for. And so I'm going to end with this. Notable Giants to play for both the Padres and the Giants were Jack Clark, who was my hero growing up, my very first favorite baseball player. Rich Aurelia.
I can't believe.
Which is still hard to believe.
He was a Padre.
Yeah. And then, which is the weirdest one, though, has to be Willie McCovey.
I don't even think about that. That's pathetic. So
those are the former Padres that came to mind as I was playing Immaculate Grid. And that's I think from here, we're going to wrap it up. Folks, or do you want to do the folks part, or do you want me?
Yeah. Well, well, there you have it, folks. The orange splash.
We didn't talk about
and the opening
to
day.
Do the happy hour
if you like either of these cocktails enough to make one yourself.
Folks, let me save Ben here. Don't forget to follow us on all the social medias, platform formerly known as Twitter, Threads, Instagram, and Mastodon. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss another episode of Giant Cocktails coming at you twice a week. Having said all that, it's been good chatting with you. We'll see you again in just a few days. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. And bye, everybody.
Go Giants.
Go Giants.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
So, Matthew, did you use your Pappy Van Winkle to make this infusion or what? Is this plastic bottle level stuff? Like, what are we doing?
I used Old Elk bourbon that was given to me for free.
Okay.
It's got a high rye content. It's got a little spice to it.
Right.
Not something that I normally drink. So, yeah, I didn't use my best bourbon, but, you know, don't go all out with this. But it's a great drink, and I'm not backing down from that.
Right. Right.
I know you've gotten all highbrow with your old, like, you know, I mean, you just got done doing like a Long Island iced tea and a grasshopper. So I don't know, like, why you're all being holier than
Cadillac.
That.
Cadillac, excuse me. Okay.
That's right. Sorry. And, my bad.
And it has like, there's no burnt peanuts in that cocktail. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But anyway, oh. I appreciate the creativity. And it's fun to experiment, right? The only victim here is you. So, you know, like, I don't...
There's no victim. This is a great cocktail.
Right. Because some people don't know when they're being victimized. That's fine.